And I want to draw one truth out of the book of Proverbs and look several passages in the book of Proverbs. If you turn to chapter 4 to begin with, and we'll give you several verses here, and then we'll kind of begin to narrow down what the truth is we're going to look at. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23 to begin with this afternoon. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23, keep thy heart with all, what's that next word?
Diligence,
for out of it are the issues of life. Look over at chapter 11 and verse number 27. The Bible says, he that, what?
Diligently
seeketh good, procureth favor, and he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Let's look at chapter 10 and verse number 4. Chapter 10 and verse number 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, and the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Chapter 12 and verse number 24. The Bible says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Look at chapter 13 and verse number 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Chapter 21 and verse number 5. 21 and verse number 5. The Bible says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to pleasantness, but every one that is hasty only to want. Chapter 22 and verse number 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. One more, chapter 27 and verse number 23. The Bible says in chapter 27 and verse number 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Look well to thy herds. All throughout the book of Proverbs, there are many, many themes, I guess, interwoven in through the book of Proverbs. One of these is diligence. Amen? Diligence. And we're going to talk about what the word diligence means and some principles and some applications out of the book of Proverbs this afternoon. Amen? Before we do, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity we have to look into your word. I pray that you would bless our time in it, short as it may be. And I pray, Lord, that you would show us from your word how we ought to be diligent Christians for you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The first thing we'll talk about is the definition of the word diligence. It comes from the Hebrew word charutz, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, meaning sharp-pointed, strict decision. It could also mean a ditch or a moat. You know what a moat is? You had a castle and a moat around it, or a ditch, a trench. And so the word diligence has it right built into it is this idea of precision, all right? It literally means a sharp-pointed object. And so sharp-pointed. And so if you wanted to cut, you know, in art class and you're a kid and you got something really, really detailed to cut out, you would use an X-Acto knife, right? Remember those when you were kids, the X-Acto knife? Get that thing out, two clicks, you know, just two clicks. And then you just start cutting it and get real precision cut right in there. You see what I'm saying? If a surgeon is going to do a heart surgery, you know, he's going to go in there and do a double bypass surgery, you think he's going to use a chainsaw? Probably not. You know, that would not be good. He's going to use a precision instrument. He's going to look diligently into this. You know, it's going to be narrowed right down. The surgeon would undoubtedly choose a sharp instrument rather than a dull one. This is a sense, there is a sense of exactness and decisiveness that comes with this word diligence, you see. Praise the Lord, we have a perfect tool at our disposal. Hebrews 4, verse number 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. We have the surgeon's tool in our hands this morning. Amen. And we can go to work. We can let it go to work on our own hearts. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for that. So also this word has the definition of diligence bears the idea of separation. And we saw that in the definition of the word. It can also mean a trench or a moat or a ditch, all right? So you're going to separate something. Often a moat would be installed around a city as a protection against an enemy, right? Separate, put some distance between the enemy and the city. All right, so we're talking about separation. Such a precaution afforded the level of security, enabling to remain on task of governing, rather than worrying about defeat. One who is diligently doing his work is one who is not distracted by his surroundings. You see, this does not mean there is no distractions, for there are many, but though he may be aware of them, he is able to remain focused and on the task at hand. Pretty interesting. You see this word, diligence. A good example of diligence in the Bible is that of Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah? We're not going to take time to turn back to that passage right now. But Nehemiah was called of God for a specific purpose, and that was to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Why is that? Ezra was already working on the temple inside of the city. Now Nehemiah is working on the wall outside of the city. And you say, well, the most important thing is the temple. Well, I think the wall is just as important as the temple, you see. And that separates us from our enemies. And a lot of times we have in our lives church, we have in our lives, a level of spirituality, we think. But then we don't have that wall of separation from the world. The Bible says, be separate, saith the Lord, come out from among them. And I think Nehemiah's wall in many ways pictures standards in our lives. We set these standards up and say, I'm not going to go, this is as far as I'm going to go with this, and that's it. And that protects us, and it protects our worship that's in the nucleus, in the heart there. And so outer principles here, outer standards protect our worship, inner worship. He was laughed at, Nehemiah was. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 18, then I told them of the hand of my God which was upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands to the work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. So here Nehemiah starts to work on this wall. And while he's beginning to work on this wall, there's people outside the wall laughing him to scorn. There are distractions, right? So in order to remain on task and do this wall in 51 days, by the way, they built this whole wall. What an amazing task. And they remained on task. Why? Because they were diligent. They were diligent. Something in their minds just put out the distractions. They put them out. He was mocked. They attacked his ability. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2 say, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his children, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? And just mocking them on every side. Not only that, he was hindered. They attacked his security. Nehemiah 4 in verse number 7 says, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God and set the watch against them day and night because of them. He was also tricked. They attacked his innocence. In Nehemiah chapter 6, they came out when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of the enemies heard that I had builded the wall and there was no breach left therein, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come out, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they sought to do me mischief. And so here's Nehemiah. He's decided to build the wall. He's got a job to do, a task from God. And it's a good task, isn't it? But he's got distractions on every side. In order to stay on task, he has to be diligent. Not let the distractions get them off of focus. So this word diligent is pretty amazing word if you think about it. It has the idea of exactness and just that getting right to the point and cutting in and not disturbing anything else, just getting right to where it needs to be with a sharp instrument. And we let the Word of God do its diligence in our hearts. Amen? And we diligently search God's Word. And then we have this idea of separating ourselves from distractions, just like Nehemiah did, just like a moat of a city would keep the enemies over here. And the king's inside, he can still make decisions. He doesn't have to worry about the enemy. There's diligence surrounding him. Amen? And so we need to have this diligence. So now let's notice here very quickly some truths about diligence. You're in Proverbs. Turn to chapter 10 and verse number 4. Truth number one I want you to see this evening or this afternoon. He who is diligent is honest and hardworking. Okay? Verse number 4, it says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. All right? So let's think about this verse for a moment. The contrast in this verse is between a slack hand and a diligent hand. You see that in the verse there? Okay? The diligent hand is obviously the opposite to that of the slack hand. Pretty obvious in Scripture. You see that? The word slack means to be lax or deceitful. Do you see that? Slack or deceitful. In other words, in this particular case, he's trying to become rich by being deceitful. He's trying to get something for nothing. We have a whole lot of that going on today, don't we? Yeah, I got a whole lot of that going on. You watch the TV and you get these ads, get rich quick scheme, you know, and they think, wow, I can just... I saw an advertisement just the other day about Amazon, of all places. Evidently something, they have a pyramid going on with Amazon, an Audible, I think it's called. And I didn't even watch the whole ad. I just got rid of it. But you're watching it and said, you don't even have to have any technical skills. You have no background, no none of it. All you have to do, it's all done for you. And I mean, you're just looking at it, you're like, no way. It's too good to be true. And it's a pyramid scheme. It's all it is. And somebody's trying to make money off of your hard-earned money. Amen? And you're going to get nothing for it. And we see here that that's a slack hand. A slack hand. And that eventually, ultimately will be poor. Amen? And so we see this deceitful and lax versus a diligent hand. So honesty costs much at times, doesn't it? It does. Honesty is generous. Remember, we read chapter 11 and verse number 24. Chapter 11 and verse number 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but is tended to poverty. There's some people who just, whenever God gives it to them, they scatter it. And it seems as though God just blesses them beyond measure. And then there's those who get what may be the blessing of God and they hoard it all to themselves. And by the end of their life, they have nothing left. Nothing left. And so honesty costs much at times, but honesty is generous. There are benefits to being honest and hardworking. Turn back to chapter 12 and verse number 24, if you will. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. God exalts the diligent with position. That's interesting. God looks at a diligent person and says, that's my ruler. He puts him up to ruling position. Chapter 22 and verse number 29. We read most of these verses right at the get-go here. Chapter 22 and verse number 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And so God looks and he seeks out the diligent, the ones who are honest, the ones who are hardworking, and he says, that's the one I want for rulers. The second truth here is the diligent is able to enjoy the fruit of his labor. God promises this. Amen? Back in chapter 12, in verse number 27, here's the slothful man. He roasteth not that which he took in hunting. Why? Because he's a lazy bum. He shot it, it fell, and it went rancid before he got around to cleaning it up. So he can't even roast it. He can't even eat. He can't enjoy what his hard work has already got him. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. What happened to that slothful man? He shot the deer and it fell, and then he got busy and distracted by other things in his life. And while he's messing with all these other enjoyments in his life, and he's not staying on task and not being focused and diligent about what he's supposed to be doing, his prize there is going rotten in the field. And so the hand of the diligent here, or the substance of the diligent man, is precious to him. And so he is able to enjoy the fruit of his labor. Amen? If you're diligent. So the first truth here I see about diligence is this. He who is diligent is honest and hardworking. The second truth I want you to see is found in Proverbs 13 in verse number 4. And here it is. He who is diligent is selfless. He's selfless. The Bible says in verse 4 there, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The contrast here is between a soul of the sluggard and the soul of the diligent. All right, so you have soul of the sluggard, soul of the diligent. Notice the use of the word soul, which speaks of the inner man, whom no one but God sees. There are many who appear to be diligent, but inside they are truly sluggards. They're just sluggards. The question is, what makes a sluggard? The answer is selfishness. That's what makes a sluggard a sluggard. He's selfish. The soul of the sluggard desireth. He's always looking to please himself. And whatever pleases his flesh, that's what he's going to do. It may be sitting on the couch. It may be watching another television show. It may be playing video games. It may be, heading down to the grocery store to do whatever. It may be, who knows what it is. But it's not what God wants him to do, you see. It is not difficult to speculate for what the sluggard is desiring. For one who will not work for himself would care for none of the needs of others. The life of the sluggard is consumed by taking. He desireth, I'll take that, I'll take that, I'll take that, I'll take some of that. I'll have some of that, I'll take some of that. And that's all he does, is he takes. While the life of the diligence is consumed by giving. It's consumed by giving. The life of the sluggard is characterized by coveting, while the life of the diligent is characterized by concerning. The idea of the poor is often thought of as a situation or condition that can be remedied by stimulus. The idea of poor, poverty. But the fact of the matter is, poverty is a state of mind. Do you know that? It is a state of mind. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse number 7, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Isn't that something? That's amazing. And so, on the other hand, no matter how little other people have, they're still rich. It's an amazing thought. So we see here that truth number two is this. He who is diligent is selfless. He doesn't think about himself. He thinks about others. Truth number three. Let's go to Proverbs 21 and verse number 5. Proverbs 21 and verse number 5. Here's the truth. He who is diligent makes wise use of his assets. He makes wise use of his assets. Here it is. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to pleasantness, but every one that is hasty only to want. All right. So there is a sense of laying up for later in the mind of this diligent person. The diligent lives within his means at the present, in order that he will have the means to live in the future. This concept is borne out through the entire book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6. Go to the end, thou sluggard. Remember that verse? Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And so God says, listen, if you really want the lesson in life, go watch the ants. Because in the summertime, they are busy. You can't find an ant playing around. They're busy. And then in the wintertime, you never see an ant. Where are they? They're down on the ground eating what they got in the summertime. Isn't that amazing? People aren't so much like that unless they have a slave driver over top of them with a whip saying, you better get yourself prepared. There's a lot of people come to the end of their life and they have no retirement whatsoever. And just haven't planned a bit. And why? Because they're not diligent. And so God wants us to be diligent. Proverbs 20 and verse number 4, the sluggard will not plow for by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. The mind of the hasty, and we're in this chapter 21, verse number 5, it says, but the heart of one that is hasty only to want. Okay, so the thoughts of the diligent tend only to pleasantness, but every one that is hasty only to want. The mind of the hasty is only on what he does not have. The word that that comes to mind is covetousness, you see. He only thinks about and desires those things that others have. His life is characterized by obtaining the newest and best of everything that is popular. If the world has it to offer, he wants it. On the other hand, the thoughts of the diligent are not so. He ponders on and is thankful for all that God has given him. You see what it says in that verse. It says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to pleasantness. What has God given me? That's a blessing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I'm not gonna think about what I don't have, my wants. I'm gonna think about what God has given me, my good things, you see. I'm not gonna be covetous. I'm just gonna be thankful and content. He ponders on and is thankful for what God has given him. The word that comes to mind is satisfied. Amen? I just live a satisfied life. His life is characterized by contentment, saving, and giving. All right, so we see here some truths about the idea of diligence. Number one, he who is diligent is honest and hardworking. Amen? He's honest and hardworking. He who is diligent is selfless. He's not prideful, he's selfless. He who is diligent, number three, it makes wise use of his assets. Whatever God has given him, he uses it for God's glory. And then the last thing that we've seen the definition of diligence. We've seen some truths about diligence. Now let's look at three very quickly, practical applications of diligence. Turn back to Proverbs 11 and verse number 27. Proverbs 11 and verse number 27. Here's some applications to diligence. If the truths we just said are true, this is an application for our lives. Verse 27 says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, and he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. Here's the application. You reap what you sow. You see that in the scripture there? You can be diligent, and God will give you favor. You can be slothful, seek mischief, and you'll reap the same. You reap what you sow. So I think I'd rather be diligent. Amen? And God will treat me that way. Praise the Lord. Let's look at another truth here. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 1. And this is an interesting three verses that go together here in the book of Proverbs. Bible says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. And put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. All right, so you sit in the king's house, and why do you think the king invited you, you of all people, to come into his house and eat with him? Well, the king, he wants something. Think about it. I mean, you were living in Peasantville just a little bit ago, and now you're sitting at the king's table. Okay, what do you want, king? You know, think about it, really. if the President of the United States, you know, called you up by personally and says, you need to come to the White House tomorrow. I got a big banquet for you. You show up and you walk into the banquet and everybody's like just looking at you and you're the guest of honor at the White House. You know what I'd be asking? Okay, what do you want out of me? You know, what do you want? And so this is what this is saying. It says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently, and there's that word, what is before thee. Okay, so I'm looking at a plate of just food that I've never eaten before. I mean, the dainties of the rich, and I've never, this is just lavish, and this is living, you know, this type of thing. And he says, you consider it. And if you're one that's given to appetite, verse number two, you better put a knife to your throat. Don't eat too much, because the more you eat, the more is going to be expected of you. Be wise in this thing. So here's the truth. Consider diligently what is before thee. Consider diligently what is before thee. Just be careful. Be careful. Someone offers you the world, you be diligent about that. That very well could be a distraction from what you're supposed to be really doing. Amen? Could be a distraction. All right, the last application here I want to make is in chapter 27 and verse number 23, and I'll be done. Chapter 27. I know everybody's tired, hot, full, all the above, but we're going to end it with this. Verse 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Here's the third one. Know the state of your flocks. How many of you have sheep here today? None of us. Okay, none of us have sheep. But we all have a business, don't we? We all have something we do. Well, know it. Know it. Be good stewards of it. Know your house. Know your family. Know your job. And be good at it. And so someone who is lazy and not diligent, yeah, he may have some sheep, but he has no clue what's going on. And therefore, he's not informed to make the best decisions concerning it. And the more loss he will get than gain. And so God says here, know the state of your flocks. What an application. Amen? And so three applications here this evening or this afternoon. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Consider diligently what is before thee. It very well could be a distraction. Be very wary of it. And number three, know the state of your flocks. Know your business. Know what God has put you in. With that, let's close in prayer. Amen? Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving us very practical truths in the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that we would be diligent in our Christian lives. Lord, you say.